Welcome to the Rock Family Sermon of the Week. For more information about our church, please visit therockfamily.tv. Now join us for a message from our special guest speaker.
Speaking of encouragement, today is going to be an incredible day today, and I'll tell you why. For all of those that have been here for a while, walking through the Beatitudes series with us, we've got just a few short weeks. We're going to continue with that in Matthew 5, and today is a special day because you get to hear from probably the best there ever was or ever will be. And I can say that with complete and total confidence because in our family, she's the absolute best that ever was. And I tell you what, she's my better half and she's an amazing communicator. She's the smartest person I know. And what makes her even better is that she loves our family really well and she's a great mom. And today you get to hear from my wife, Pastor Britt Silcox. So would you do me a favor? Just give it up for her this morning as she comes to share with us.
Good morning. All right, did I do it right? Can y'all hear me? Okay, so this is a new view for me because I'm always right there and I secretly want to see all of you. So at like key times during worship, I try to casually not be weird so that I can see you. So first, before we even start, who are my happy faces that I can look at when some of you are mean mugging me in the middle of this? Because I don't have the practice Scott has. I'm gonna need some happy faces. But I also won't hold it against you if you're not the happy face, because I have always been told by teachers, like, Britt, what is wrong? Are you angry with the history lesson? I'm like, this is my focus face. What are you talking about? I love it. I'm here for it. So, you know, just even in preparing for this opportunity, I just want you to know where my heart's at. This is such a gift. You are such a gift. What we get to do here is a gift. And you know, whatever you mislabel, you will mishandle. And it's really important that we recognize that what we have here today, what we get to come to do together in freedom, is a gift. You know, just even this week, yeah, it's okay. Even this week, I talked to a servant leader who gave up an Easter service to go be with the little people, right? We all know that's a labor of love. But they got to talk to a little boy and teach him about Jesus, and he had never heard the name of Jesus before. Y'all, like, that's amazing. That's a gift, right? Just this week. Last night, all of our Champions families, those with special needs kids that never get a break or a date night, got to go out. Got to go get dinner, got to go see a movie. Their kids were being cared for here. Like, that's a gift. Amen? Then I hear stories of just the last two Wednesday nights, a group of ladies seeking Jesus, reading the book of Acts, wanting all that the Holy Spirit has for them, in a quiet room, receiving a new language to pray in. God, this is a gift that we get to have here. You know, another gift this week was actually getting a phone call from a sister in this house who has a different color skin than me, but who was willing to share what her family had gone through this week with her precious high school boy being falsely accused, and me getting to listen and learn and pray together and cry together and hearing her resolve of, I will not be bitter and I will stand for reconciliation. And guys, this is a gift and it's for us. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we're going to start. Holy Spirit, we just come before you today and we say, speak. We thank you for your creative work. God, we thank you that we get to be here, that we get to give you glory and honor and praise. I pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, and that you would do whatever you want to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read our text. I'm going to look back here and read it. We're doing Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay, we're just continuing, right? We've been in this super fun series, Good News is Good News. So let's just go over what we already know. We already know that the disciples and the people had been listening to the most amazing sermon. It sounded like a very long sermon by Jesus. We know that he had been talking about his kingdom, his rule, his reign, how it wasn't going to look like what they thought, that it was going to be completely different, that the things that the people in his kingdom were going to value, what they were going to treasure, what they were going to prioritize, were going to be opposite of what was currently happening, right? Are y'all tracking? And so the people there that were listening began to lean in. They're already wondering, like, how do I qualify for this kingdom? How do I get to be a citizen of this kingdom that this man speaks of? So I want to actually, if you'll throw up the next slide, let's just quickly rehearse, because these were so awesome. We've learned each week what Jesus said about his kingdom. Are you destitute, but you recognize that God is your only hope? Good news. Yours is the kingdom. Are you mourning from great loss? Good news. There's comfort. Are you restraining power, even though you actually have a right? Good news. You have an inheritance. Are you desperate for things to be made right? Good news. Satisfaction is coming. Are you showing mercy towards someone who doesn't deserve it? You will be shown mercy. Are you consecrating your life to have clean hands and a pure heart? Good news, you will see God. Are you stepping out in spirit-led courage to bring peace to chaos? Good news, sons and daughters, you're called. And are you being treated harshly because of your faith in Jesus? Yours is the kingdom. So today our scripture looks a little bit different. It's a little bit different format, a different cadence that we're stepping into. Both of our verses this week begin with, you are. Everybody say, you are. You are statements are identity statements. Would anybody agree that there is nothing better in the whole wide world than when you feel the identity of your Father in heaven and you feel for that moment that you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know your purpose, you know your calling? If you've had that, you know what I'm talking about. And we also know some of our lowest moments in life are those times where we're questioning, where we're doubting, like some of my most pitiful times, that the kind where you just remember back, it was the ugly cry, it was the perfectly full good face of makeup completely ruined. It was days at a time of not being in victory and being just despondent and discouraged and isolated and caught in a narrative of, do I even matter? Does anybody see me? Why am I here? What is my purpose? We've all been at those places, and if you haven't, you will. You know those intersections of life. A lot of times it's at graduation. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. It's when it's time to make a career move or a career change. It's at times of transitions in life. I knew who I was, but now, what am I? It's times, at times of loss, at times of aging. Even when you have a baby, where's the mamas out there? You wait for this beautiful gift and then it comes and nothing is the same. You're like, who am I? What am I doing? Identity is critical. Every choice we make stems from identity. In fact, did you know that it is so much easier to get ready in the morning when you know who you are? You could stare at your closet for hours. Am I a mom today? Do I need to find some stretchy pants and put on just enough makeup to not be scary, but to say, I'm not trying? Am I a business owner today putting my making decision pants on? Phil Woodall's in the room. He used to tease me about that. Am I a pastor today? Am I going to find something that says, we all know that I'm not as seasoned as Pastor Lisa, but you know what? I'm approachable. And you know, I am 44 years old, which means I'm not so young that I'm going to burn it all down. Do I need to be trendy today? Do I need some chunky shoes so that the 20-somethings can hear what I have to say? I know it's not the right ones, but when you're 5'1", pretending to be 5'3", you gotta pick the ones that lift you up. Identity is not earned. We don't become it. It's actually what we are from original design before we're ever born. It's not your job title. That's why when the job shifts and the title changes, it shouldn't affect who you are and why you matter. Identity is like inheritance. You get it from your bloodline. As they're hearing the scripture, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. They had to be thinking the same thing we're thinking as we're listening to Jesus. What are you saying to me? You're telling me who I am, so what does this mean? They had to think the same thing that we're thinking. Salt, okay, when I make that pot of soup, it's gonna taste a lot better with some salt than without it. It's flavor. They had to think some things that we probably wouldn't think of just because of cultural things were at place. They would always have a phrase that says that once a man shared his salt, they were friends for life. So they would have understood, are you talking about forever friendship? Are you talking about covenant? They would have known that Yahweh made a salt covenant with David, that the kingship would stay within his household, a promise forever. They would have known that salt is the same as cash. Salt was a currency. It was so valuable that you could trade it. And why was that? Because they didn't have refrigerators. And it meant life or death, whether your food was preserved or whether it was full of bacteria and decay and disease and going to kill you. Salt mattered. But that identity of you or the salt wasn't just for 2,000 years ago. He knew that we would be reading the same verse here, 2024, at the Rock Family Worship Center, right in the middle of prom season. We got any prom folks out there? Wave at me. Yeah? I almost made a joke. I need to hold that back. Too soon. Y'all are just getting to know me. Okay. He knew that we would be in a season of inflation. Many of us picking up a second job. He knew the state of the American church and the purging going on. He knew that we would be post-pandemic. Progressive ideologies coming in, still healing from racial tension. He also knew that the eclipse was going to be Monday, and some of you in here truly believe it's all wrapping up. These verses are speaking of the influence that he was writing on us as his kingdom citizens, as his church, as his believers. Both of the passages talk about who was it for? Is it salt for the church? Is it salt for heaven? The salt of the earth, right? This was about influence. So let's talk about salt. What does it mean for us today? We're going to talk about three things. Flavor, health, and covenant. You are the salt. You are the flavor of the earth. So what is your flavor? I'm going to read John 15, and I'm sorry I didn't make a slide, but John 15, verse 5, 6, and 8. Jesus explained, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Your flavor is your fruit. Say it. Say, my flavor is my fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Your flavor is your fruit. And where does this verse say your fruit comes from? Because you spend all your time up in this room. Because you send all your friends the YouTube replay of the sermons. Our fruit comes from time in his presence. Being with Jesus. Personal encounters with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Doesn't have to always be worship music. You encounter Jesus by reading his word. This verse talks about our flavor. Our text for today talks about how our influence can be lost. Can you put that scripture back up? Verse 14, yeah. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I didn't really like this when I read it. I liked the part about being flavorful. I was like, oh, wait, but I could lose it, and then I'm worth nothing? That just sounded off to me. I don't know, if you read the face value, you're like, no, but I'm always his child. I'm the apple of his eye. Yes, we are. He's talking about our influence in the world. He's talking about our value to his kingdom advancing. If we've lost our taste, what can be done? No longer good. Our influence is the same as something that just should be trampled and walked over by people, because it doesn't matter to the kingdom when we lose our flavor. So let's just talk about some ways that we can lose our flavor. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. See, our flavor is not our frustration. We are in a time where our point of view is what we post, right? Our point of view is our unique personality. Our point of view is what we believe at times our value and our contribution to society. But without the wisdom of God attached to your unique personality and your unique point of view, you lose your flavor for the kingdom. I just see people all the time bleeding out publicly. Is there things to bleed over? There are. But what he wants us to do as kingdom citizens is to bring our pain to him, to bring the brokenness that we see in this world to him, to weep with him, to hear what he has to say, and to wait on the hope. He always has hope. And when we use our influence, when we use our voice, when we use our platforms to bring awareness to something, you better end with something attached to the hope of Jesus, or you've only aided to the problem. And it's okay if you don't have it yet. I got plenty of things right now that I know are wrong, that are bothering me, but I don't yet have a strategy. I don't yet have the answer. So I'm going to wait. Another way we lose our flavor is when we partner with a political spirit and we think we're being salty. We have to talk about this because we're coming into an election. If we're using our influence to only promote a man-made system, and we only have one message, is that we are right and you are wrong. We'll lose our saltiness. When our peace and comfort rests that our guy is in office, we've forgotten who the Prince of Peace, who is the ruler and reigner of the earth. The political spirit wants to divide us. It wants to polarize us. It wants to tell us that we're right and they're wrong. Let's just be honest. Both sides have godly people filtered in, hidden like leaven, right, in the kingdom. You remember that verse? And both sides have corruption, which is why we appeal higher. We're seated in heavenly places. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the only one who can give us a strategy. He's the only one that can heal what is broken. We've partnered with the political spirit when we can't stand up for biblical values. We can't publicly stand for biblical values because we'll offend our family or our party. We've partnered with the political spirit when we can't use our passion to weep over what's broken. Not blame shifting. Not blaming on the government what is in the heart of man. It's in our hearts. It's in our homes. Let's let the Lord deal with us. We cannot be bitter. A true test is, can I legitimately pray for both sides? Can I legitimately pray that men and women in our political system, that their eyes would be open, that they would see the voice and hear the voice of Jesus, that they would be called up into their identity to be salt and light, and that they would be an instrument in the hand of God to bring about what he wants to see on the earth? Another way we lose our flavor is we partner with a religious spirit. Ooh. And these two run together, so sometimes we don't really know which one it is. And I'm not preaching at anybody. This is in the atmosphere that any of us can come under if we're not aware, right? And taking a stand. The religious spirit has to criticize everything. Oh, yes, you live with a scorecard, self-appointed. You cloak in pride and fluffy words, sandwiching it between two compliments, a way to always judge, a way to always belittle, a way to always point out the flaw in order to puff yourself up. You're the judge, you're always right, you're always smarter, and you don't have to submit to anyone. All of these things, you know, you just start thinking of people and Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm telling you to look at you. Stop ducking like it's going to hit the person behind you. We are in this together. Okay, so our salt of the earth is flavor. We've covered it. The next thing that we know about salt, it brings health. Remember, it purified, it preserved, it brings health. I have a little book on my little reading table in the morning with coffee, and you know, I have a lot of them. I never finish any of them, just read a couple pages. And this one day, this stood out to me, and I just loved it, and I have to share it with you. It was an A.W. Tozer quote, "What is holy is healthy." I'm gonna say it again, "What is holy is healthy." And what he's writing about, he's talking about the shock that humanity suffered when we severed ourselves from God's way. He called it a disease in both ourselves and in our environment. He said, until we see ourselves as God sees us, it's identity, we're not likely to be much disturbed over conditions around us, as long as they don't get so far out of hand as to threaten our comfortable way of life. We've actually learned to live with unholiness and come to look upon it as the natural and expected thing.
Well, you know, the world's just going to get darker and darker. It's just bad out there. It's just real bad. They're going to do what they're going to do. He says, neither the writer nor the reader of these words is qualified to appreciate the holiness of God. He says, quite literally, a new channel has to be cut in the desert of our mind to allow the sweet water of truth to heal this great sickness. God is holy, and he has made holiness the moral condition necessary for the health of the universe. Whatever is holy is healthy. Whatever is contrary to this is under his eternal displeasure. To preserve his creation, he must destroy whatever would destroy it. Every wrathful judgment in the history of the world has just been an act of holy preservation. His wrath is just intolerance of whatever degrades and destroys us. He hates iniquity as a mother hates the polio that takes the life of her child. He did not say, be as holy as I am holy. Praise the Lord. For that would demand of us absolute holiness, something that can only belong to God. Caught in this dilemma, what are we Christians to do? This is his mic drop right here. We must hide our unholiness in the wounds of Christ, as Moses hid himself in the cleft of the rock while the glory of God passes by. We must take refuge from God in God. Above all, we must believe that God sees us as perfect in his Son while he disciplines, chastens, and purges us. We're talking about when our choices don't match our identity. Every day, right? So thankful that we have the blood of Jesus to cover us. We are received and accepted and invited in with access to the King of Kings, into his kingdom, his rule and reign. Because he is holy, we can be holy. How many times do our choices not match our identity? How many times in the morning on the way to school, I've got children that do not want to take a bath. They do not want to take a shower. We're talking day three. I'm like, so you just want to be stinky with an itchy butt. That's what you're saying today. That's the day that you want to have today. I walk in, and before morning coffee, someone is climbing into the pantry to get to the top shelf where I hide these snack chips that are made for lunch boxes to eat chips for breakfast. We do not eat chips for breakfast. We do not live on a diet of chippies. We will not be healthy with this diet. Also, before morning coffee, there's often yelling and stomping, bringing chaos over something that is not fair. Every good mama knows, because you tried it the wrong way and it didn't work. You can sit all day till you're blue in the face. Why are you doing that behavior? Or you can teach identity. This is who we are. This is what our family stands for. This is the way we live. This is the way we smell. This is the way we eat. So, church, my question is today, what are you putting on today that doesn't match your identity? Insignificance, isolation, I don't matter. What are you consuming in your spirit that is not making you healthy? What's not chippies? What are you entertaining yourself with? What is on your playlist? Anything that we entertain ourselves with that Jesus had to go to the cross for to break the back of its power on our lives should not be. Oh, I just work out to it. It helps me get ramped up when I'm... Send that line to somebody else. Clean it up. That's conversation in our house. So, what are you stomping your foot over? Being stubborn and selfish about to the point of damaging relationships. What are you complaining, arguing, rebelling over? A decision made by an authority in your life? Or the simple truth of God's word and his order and his way? You know, God has an order. God has an order for sex. God has an order of where it fits. And we love every person in this room. And we love you young people. And we remember and we understand the pressure and the temptation. But God has something better for you. Well, I've already messed up. Good news. The blood of Jesus. Confession brings it into the light. But you know what he wants for you? To do it in his order so he can bless your family. He can bless your choices. And what about those of you in this room that we love? We love you. But you're choosing to live together and not be married. Jesus wants to break the curse of generational sin in your life, of sexual sin. He wants to help you. This is who you are. Bring it into the light. Do this God's way so that he can bless your family in every part of your life. And 1,000 other things in God's word, right? All of us, not one of us have a stone to throw. But what are we choosing to do opposite of God's way? Opposite of our identity. His love will never leave us. But those choices will diminish our influence, our flavor, our value for how we advance the kingdom. I love that we are people of covenant. This word has come to be very special to me in this new little season we're in. God, I have a covenant with you. You're not going to leave me here. I'm freaking out. This is really hard. This is not fun like I thought it was going to be. But God, I have a covenant with you. It's forever. Doesn't matter what happens here. You're always there. You're always speaking. You're always leading. You're always helping. You're always protecting. You're always speaking identity. We're people of covenant. Which means, I better throw up the second verse because I need to hit it a little bit. What is the next one on light? Will you throw that up for me? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We're set apart. We're covenant people. What do we know about the light? Is it our light? Has it ever been our light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We are reflecting his light. Remember that beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians maybe? It says that we behold him as in a mirror, reflecting him and are transformed into his image from glory to glory. We are only reflectors. We're image bearers. We were created for this. It's not something we earn. Remember, identity isn't earned. Identity isn't something you become. Identity is who you are. We are image bearers. You are image bearers, which is why the enemy wants to distort what you believe about yourself so that when you look into the mirror, you can't see Jesus. But that's not who you are. It's why the body's so important, body ministry. Because when you see your sister or your brother downcast, not living up to identity, believing a lie. Is Pastor Scott going to notice that next Thursday at wherever you're at? Or are you noticing it? He wants you to do something about it. He wants you to be the flavor. We're distinct. We're set apart. You know, set apart actually just means we want different things. Most of you guys, well, a lot of y'all know Cass. I don't know, is Cass, wave at me if Cass is here. If not, she's probably like in the prayer room praying. She's in the prayer room. Cass is our in-house CrossFit competition girl. She's really careful what she wears at church so she's not distracting, because if she wore regular clothes, you'd just be like, oh my gosh, look at those thighs. That is amazing. Like, if you didn't know, boys, girls, like, actually say that stuff out loud to a total stranger. If I see somebody in the store, I'm like, your thighs are amazing. Scott heard me do that one day in college at the mall, and he's like, what did you just do? That was a stranger. I'm like, look, good thighs need to be called out. This is impressive. But when I have a hard week, and I have that Crumble app, and you know, Cookie Crumble, they change the flavors every week, and it's a ridiculous price, but they will deliver it to your door. And I'm just saying, there was one time where I only ordered the 4-pack because I wasn't planning on sharing, and it was delivered to the door at 10 p.m., only for me to, in all my nasty, open the door and think a stranger was going to be delivering my cookie for someone to say, Pastor Britt, you don't know me. Thank you. That I'm feeding my stress. I'm feeding my sorrow, my bitty barty. See, Cass didn't do that stuff. Why? She wants different things. She's competing. And she's got a place she's headed. She can already see where she's going. And all these little things here, they don't help her get there. They're not serving her very well to get where she's going. That's what it means to be set apart. So, church, what are we wanting? Do we want status, wealth, power like the rest of the world? It affects our choices. We're the light of the world. We cannot be hidden. Oh, go back. Thank you. Let your light shine before others and give light to all in the house. We're actually on display. Your identity is to be on display for all to see. For you to be seen, we're just reflecting. Is it for you to really enjoy attention? That's where the church keeps missing it, the American church. We get to shine a little bit, and then we start, oh, I kind of like this shine. It's kind of fun. People are coming, they're following, and we forgot what the Bible said. Our good works give glory to God. We've got to stop settling for attention and go for glory. Last thing about light. Light is for people to be shown the way, right? What do you do in darkness? What do you do when you get up in the middle of the night and you need something to drink? You grab your cell phone and you put the flashlight on. That's what I do. The other night I didn't, and I hit the side of the wall. And it hit the funny bone, and I cried for like 10 minutes. It was terrible. We're the light. We're here to show people the way. The way to what? Jesus. Hope. Eternal life. Peace. Last scripture, Romans 10. I actually got this one on the slide. Romans 10, 12 through 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Am I talking about the person that one time a week holds this microphone? Beautiful are your feet. When I look around this room and I look at how God has hidden each of us into the fabric of our culture, every area of society, every color, every age stage, you have beautiful feet to carry the good news and the light of Jesus. This is what you were called for. Amen? I'm not going to do an altar call, but I am done. What I want you to do, if any of this meant anything to you or spoke to you, what I'm asking is that we as a church take inventory and sign up all over again today. You've been serving Jesus for years. Sign up all over again today to consecrate your heart. Families, consecrate your house. You have no idea what the Lord wants to do through you and through this church. Salt of the earth, light of the world. But we've got to have flavor, and we've got to be holy, and we've got to remember we're in covenant, and we've got to reflect, and we've got to show people the way. Amen.
We hope and pray this message was encouraging and impactful. Join us live on our website or Facebook on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. You can stay connected with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Rock Family. Have a Jesus-filled week.